Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We are back from Telluride as of a few days ago, and it was super awesome. And we are going to be spending today's podcast just talking about how awesome it was.
Yep, it was pretty freaking crazy. Lots of really good feature films this year. The shorts, I don't know. The ones I saw, I only saw one block of shorts this year, which is really weird because usually I love watching shorts. But I was really impressed with the feature films this year. And of course, if you don't want to listen to us and somehow you got on this podcast, but now you're like, I hate these guys, just go read our articles because we wrote a bunch of stuff about all the movies as well.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with you. I feel like the last few years, just in general, like overall, like we've seen good feature films every year, but overall the shorts have beaten out the feature films on like overall score. You know, like, you know, shorts get a point for this kind of entertainment, and feature films, blah blah blah. This year, I feel like the feature films took the win, and which was, I think, really awesome. And, like, it's definitely not a bash on the shorts from this year or a bash on the feature films from years past. It's just the quality just felt a little bit more up our alley on the feature films this year, which is, it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, it really was. It's always good to have your expectations, you know, set into place. But do you just want to start walking through them?
Yeah, let's start. Like, we're just gonna kind of go through each one, as far as like feature films, and like skim through the shorts as well. Just give our quick little feedback or thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Neither one of us will even admit the ones that we weren't able to really catch because either got one showtime or just overlapped with other films that we wanted to see. But like, 1BR was one that we did not catch. But we heard good things. We heard mixed to good, on it. But yeah, so we didn't get to catch that one. But the next one was After Midnight, which I know Ifrit really loved.
Yeah, it was one of my top three. After Midnight is an interesting movie about relationships and stuff. Also combined with a lot of humor and a decent little splash of horror. It's not a super horror movie-ish, but it does have a pretty cool monster in it that definitely isn't just in someone's head, I'll tell you that. That might not ruin it, I don't know, but it's good that it's not in their head.
Yeah, to give you like kind of an idea, like a picture of what this movie is like, it's from the guys that brought The Endless and Spring and Resolution, and then also some of the people that brought The Battery.
I think it's with the director of The Battery.
The actor Jeremy Gardner, the lead, was also one of the leads in The Battery, and it has the feel of those movies to it.
Yep.
Where you know it's lighter, it's got more of a lower budget feel to it, but the quality of the acting and the writing is very high. It's got that like dry humor throughout, and the horror is more of a secondary element to drive the story. So it is one of those types of movies. So if you like those other movies, you'll love this one. If you're like, that's not my type of horror, I prefer the more like intense stuff, it probably won't be up your alley. But both of me and Ifrit loved it a lot. We thought it was great.
Yeah, and I'll even go as far as saying I don't even think it was really a horror movie. At the very least, I think it was more of just a sci-fi movie, which isn't bad. It's just that it. Don't expect it to be, like, a horror movie.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. The next one on the list was Daniel Isn't Real. Ifrit wasn't able to catch this one. He was checking out another awesome movie that we'll be talking about. I was, and it is my highlight of the festival. I thought it was amazing. It stars Miles Robbins, who is Tim Robbins' son, and Patrick Schwarzenegger, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger's son. And they do amazing jobs. Like they both do a fantastic job. The movie's about a guy that has an imaginary friend as a little boy, and he's forced to abandon the imaginary friend when he's young, And when he's older, his life kind of starts falling apart. So he goes and gets his imaginary friend back to help fix his life. And his life gets back on track. But then his little imaginary friend starts, his violent tendencies come back out. So it's a lot, it's a kind of like psychological horror that really dips into some other areas that I don't want to get into without ruining it. But it was. I thought it was so amazing. I felt like this really good blend of higher budget, mainstream horror elements with art house elements. That I like. It's one of the best blendings of those two things that I've ever seen, in my opinion. Where it feels like you're seeing a really high budget movie, but with the originality and uniqueness of a lower budget horror movie. Yeah, the acting is great, writing is great, visuals are really awesome. They take some really cool practical effects CGI routes with the way that they handle the imaginary friend elements, especially as the movie develops. It really ramps it up. It starts out crazy scenes, and then it lets you build up into that, and then it just starts cranking up, and it finds ways to take it even further than you thought it would.
Does it have a lot of jump scares in it or anything like that, or is it just more
Not really.
okay?
It does do a couple of those that I believe that you had a couple of complaints about a movie that we're going to talk about later where it was doing that a little bit. I don't recall it doing that a lot. It's really more the characters are the scary part, sort of.
Okay.
The imaginary friend is the part that's that where you're getting all of your horror from. And I mean, obviously,
And
but
that's actually the same with one of the movies we'll talk about later too. But yeah.
yeah, so it's definitely to me it was more about the atmosphere. It's the way that I just think it's got a great story to it. But it's really hard to discuss it without ruining it, and I don't want to ruin it because I think everybody should check it out.
Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah, I'm excited for that movie, so. And it should be coming out on Shudder soon, as far as I understand.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I believe it got picked up by Shudder, so it should be there
Okay.
hopefully pretty soon.
The next one is Eli, right?
Yes,
And
which
we
neither of
neither
us
of us,
caught
yeah.
that one either.
But it's on Netflix or coming out on Netflix soon, so we'll probably talk about it in a little bit.
Yep.
The next one is Extraordinary. Extraordinary is a Irish comedy horror movie about a fallen out of favor musician named Christian Winter, played by Will Forte, and his satanic lifestyle mix crossing paths with a psychic and her life, and it's pretty interesting. It's really funny. It's so funny. Some of the stuff that you see in there, you're just like, how has no one ever thought to do this as a joke before? It was really original. And I think it was a pretty interesting take on the whole, because a lot of the stuff we saw this year was genre mixy kind of. We'll talk about that when we talk about Making Monsters a little bit, and some of the other films we saw. But this one is kind of cool because it takes a medium and puts it into puts them into a cult movie basically, which is kind of fun because not a ton of movies have done that before actually, as far as I can remember. But it was really, really funny. Their humor translates really well. It's not like one of those movies where if you don't know enough British slang, you won't get it. It's pretty straightforward. Him meaning and it's not really hard to understand. And I think it was really funny. Again, I said that 50 times, but it's the Detectives of this year. It's just a solid comedy horror movie, and Will Forte does an amazing job.
For sure, yeah, that was the one I wasn't able to catch because I saw Daniel Isn't Real instead. So I think we both ended up pretty happy about
Yep.
that.
The next one is The Girl on the Third Floor. This is the one I watched and Sickle didn't actually get to catch, but it's kind of a interesting horror movie, I think, or an interesting haunted house movie. So one of the things that we noticed this year, and something that we had a long discussion about on the way back down to hell, which was how do you approach in a horror film the reality of people not believing other people, and that kind of slow roll into oh my God, they actually do, there actually are ghosts here. Girl on the Third Floor is a haunted house movie that doesn't have any of that crap, because Dawn, the main character, is just renovating a house and experiencing all this crazy nutso crap, and it gets really intense. There's a lot of really cool visuals in this movie, it's a pretty standard like haunted house movie, but I think it actually is kind of got a lot of good things going for it in terms of like what it tries to do and how it portrays the horror. And the story isn't like the best, but I think it's worth seeing just for the effects and the kind of horror of it, you know?
For sure. Yeah, I wasn't able to catch that one. I don't remember what I saw instead, but I saw something.
Z, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Alright, I don't think either of us caught The Girl with No Mouth, so
we did not.
We'll move on from that one into a movie that we're probably going to post a review for in a little bit, called Making Monsters. There's so many things this movie had going for it in the first place. The main being that Justin Harding was in the head of it, was heading it and directing it, right?
For sure, yeah, he did a great job, and all the actors did so good. They had quite a few in attendance, like Justin Harding was there, and then his wife, Elena, was there, and then also Jonathan Craig, who plays the bad guy of the movie, was there, and he did, they all did an awesome job. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Craig did his best, like, creep impression, from that movie, and it was spot on.
Yeah, his character acts and looks a lot like the creep character from, the creep movies, or the movie from the movies, the creep movies character. But it takes place, it's basically it's hard to describe this movie without just repeating what the synopsis is here and not giving too much away. Except for the thing I think they wish they told us is that the main character, like the wife, the lady played by Elena, is actually a medium. So that kind of is a really another interesting take on smashing like modern slasher genre into like medium or like ghost stuff. And I'm a big fan of like, weirdly enough, some of these like genre mashups that, and it's kind of like it's what you do nowadays if you don't want a movie to be like stock standard, right?
Yeah, for sure. It does such a good job of blending genres together, and like concepts together. Like we thought that it pulled from like quite a few different movies, either purposefully or you know, subconsciously. It's got some elements of like The Pact. It's got some elements of like some of those other movies where it's pseudo meta, where it's like got a, like there's like a horror thing that's involved inside of it. It's like a movie inside of a movie. Thankfully this one like just barely touches on that part of it. It's not a key element, so like it, because that's been done before. So and it does that in a lot of ways where it's like, oh yeah, I've seen, you know, this reminds me of that, I'm familiar with this, but it never sits on any of it too long. It's definitely its own movie. And it feels like it pulled all the right things and threw it in a blender to make sure that like you could taste the hints of it, but it's its own milkshake.
Yeah, Justin and the crew, actually, because it was like a family movie, not a family and movie and such, that it was produced by friends and family, did a really good job with their first like feature-length film, and it's pretty solid. I definitely say check it out as soon as you can. I don't know where it's coming out at. It might not come out for a while. Justin, I don't know if it's Justin or just people around him, but has a tendency to not put his movies out very easily to find. So, good luck, I guess.
Well, hopefully that'll change soon. We're also going to get a pretty positive review up for that movie pretty soon here. So you'll be able to check that out and hopefully find a way to support through that.
Yep. Neither of us saw Mutant Blast, but it's a trauma movie, so you can pretty much expect the fact that it's like kind of cheesy. But I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, I know that somebody told me that there's something about like a lobster and a dolphin fight each other. I have no idea.
Cool.
Yeah.
Porno is the next one. I actually watched Porno. I wasn't going to, but then I watched it and I actually found it pretty entertaining. I think it's one of those kind of entertaining horror movies, and it's one of those ones you could like it's a horror movie that you could watch more than once and not get bored with, because it's just got, it's one of those like background movies, right? Like you could have it on in the background and still enjoy it, because it's not crazy novel. I mean, it has a lot of tropes in it, like a ton of tropes in it, and especially around the characters. Like it's in a small Christian town, so there's like every freaking Christian character trope you could want, and then the monster's pretty cool. I mean, there's boobies in it, so you get to see that if you're a fan. I mean, there's lots of stuff going for it, but don't get distracted by the name. They watch a porno There is a few penises in it, so be wary if you're not comfortable with that stuff. But it was pretty good. I'd say like everyone should give it a watch at least once. It's not gonna ruin your day if you don't enjoy it, but it is gonna be a movie worth seeing if you really were if you wanted to see a good movie, a pretty entertaining movie. It's not like a high quality movie at all. It's more just like, oh, I found this on Prime and it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, so kind of going with it with that. I like the what you said. Just kind of it's more of a like maybe popcorn flick. Just kind of have it on, kind of a thing, and enjoy it for what it is.
Neither of us saw Seder, which is the next one, and
Yeah, unfortunately, we just weren't able to catch it.
I don't think either of us truly really wanted to see it either. We were worried it was going to be a little bit too artsy. And most of the time, we typically don't enjoy those, except for like things like A Dark Song and things like that, but
Yeah, not if it takes it too far. And this one looked like it may have done that, but it
yeah.
also looked like it might have also maybe been going like a fourth kind route, which would have been really cool because I like that movie.
Yeah.
But not sure.
We'll
We'll
see it
catch it
eventually.
later.
Yeah. The next movie was one of my top threes. It's Scare Package by Aaron B. Kunst and family. Not family, but in friends, I guess. So a bunch of people did. There's seven directors, seven short movies. And it's really. There's like only like one or two maybe that are just slow. But all of them are pretty good at what they're trying to accomplish, which is like satirical horror. Really, really meta satirical horror.
For sure, and like they teased one of the shorts or teased the whole movie by showing one of the shorts last year, one of the short films, and it was from Chris McElroy, and it was One Time in the Woods, and it was still probably my favorite one, because I feel like it just throws so many tropes at you in a really short amount of time and does it in a, like a really entertaining gross way. And I love that. I just love any time that they still put work into like practical effects, even when they're being silly. Like Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, for example. Like it definitely makes sure that it's like, hey, we're gonna ha show nails going through this guy's face, but it's still supposed to be funny. Like you can still have good effects work, and that one does a good job of that. I also I forgot the title of it because it's actually this ridiculously long title on purpose, kind of like making fun of like the Friday the 13th movies, where it's
It's
like
like the
Friday the
Night of the
13th,
Killer
Jason
Return,
Lives.
Part Five, the final killing.
And that one was really cool because it was all its whole trope was about like how it's impossible to kill the villain at the end, and so they like have him strapped down and they're basically doing like a test of like, okay, well, how are we gonna kill this thing? Like, let's do a bunch of different ways, and
Yeah.
it was funny. I loved both those.
And they didn't really. So one thing about, I'll say about, what we call anthology films, or is that what we're gonna refer to this as? Like
Sure. Yeah,
anthologies,
absolutely.
is that you have to, if you're just going to show a bunch of anthologies, it wouldn't really call it a movie, right? There's nothing pulling those together. It'd be more like just posting shorts on the internet. But the thing that a good anthology film does, although like VHS, is have a connecting story that is interesting, or either like it doesn't slow down, it doesn't make it not make sense in between things like that. Like VHS. Three, VHS Viral or whatever the third one is has a terrible interim story. It's really dumb. Don't just watch it for the shorts. But this movie had a really good interim story that ended up being its own short slash movie at the end, which was awesome, by the way. It was just, I thought that part made me want to watch Cabin in the Woods again, made me want to go back and watch You Might Be the Killer. It like made me want to go watch some Wes Craven movies. It was just a pretty solid meta horror like short film that was also the entire movie.
For sure, yeah, they did a really good job with it, and yeah, the top level story was really good and entertaining, and like definitely did a good job of just closing out the film, because normally it does not last that long. Like it's like you said, it's like its own movie at the end, which is its own little short at the end, which is awesome.
Yeah. All right, the next one is She Never Died. So it's a direct female follow-up sequel to He Never Died. I saw this movie, but Sickle did not. And I'd say like this movie was all right. If you like the first one, you'll probably like this movie. I think this movie was a little bit more like the trope that they're going for here is like kind of like a the people in these movies, like Henry Rollins and the main director actor from this one, who plays Lacey, are kind of like these like very like lonely people because they've just been alive forever, and they're like kind of, it's kind of implied that they're like fallen angels or something like that, and they eat humans or eat marrow to survive. And this one, the like main character was like a little bit too feral. I just didn't. It's like it's too tropey to like really enjoy her character, but there's a lot of good characters around the main character, which is what kind of pulls it back together. The villains are actually really funny in it, and it's that's a pretty good quality. But the real cool thing that we get from this is that there it sets up the end of the movie sets up a really cool potential for like either like a show or another few movies that are gonna like really kind of be cool, because at the end of the movie there's some like Four Horsemen references that people are excited about, or that I was excited about. That doesn't really change anything about the rest of the movie, which was kind of why the movie didn't really matter, I guess, you know? Like, it was good, but I'm more excited about what's going to happen next.
For sure. Yeah, the next one was Spider Baby, which neither of us caught. It was actually a or not a premiere or anything. It was a 1967 film that was mainly set up for donations to Scares That Care.
Same with Tammy and the T-Rex, so yes. We won't talk about that one either.
Yeah, but it was also, this one was also just an homage to Sid Haig, or in memory of Sid Haig, who stars in the movie. So that was part of the reason that they showed that, and it was, I thought that was really cool. Even though we didn't get to see it, that was a really cool idea, concept that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one was Sweetheart, which is just about a girl that gets stranded on a remote island after her boat crashes, and she has to survive this creature that comes out of the ocean every night and tries to find her and eat her. And it's super straightforward. It's not complex at all. It's got some fun subtlety to its character development, and the creature's really cool. The action is great. It's exactly what I wanted it to be because I like monster movies. And it wasn't cheesy or stupid, but it wasn't also breaking breaking any rules or bending any, you know, it was exactly what you're expecting it to be, and that's what I wanted it to be. So it's fun.
Yeah, there was a few like dumb character decisions in it that I didn't really get, and like I felt like some of the character development besides Jen was like pointless, but the monster is really cool, and the confrontation at the end of the movie is pretty epic.
Yeah, they do a really good job with it, and the effects work is really fun. The creature design isn't like uber super original, but I like the take on it. Like, I like that there's like a fun little like twist to the way that they design it that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth it because they do such a good job with it and make it, I don't know, the effects are great.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ever figure out or understand why they called it Sweetheart, and I don't know if Sickle did either, but there's probably a very, very obvious good reason, but you could have called it, like, literally anything else.
Well, somebody calls her Sweetheart
at
some point in the movie.
They could have also called it Jen.
It's true. There's got to be some reason that, like you said, there's got to be some reason. It's probably, my guess is that it's the way that he says it. There's like a bit of like misogyny hidden.
I was gonna say like the monster represents her like dark clouds that are her life, and part of her boyfriend who calls her sweetheart is like her being trapped on the island. Blah blah blah. Bored. There's a monster. So yeah, that's how I feel about that.
At the end of the day, it's fun because it has a monster in it.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's worth watching because it's a pretty cool Castaway twist.
Yes.
Not because it's got some philosophical ramblings about a boyfriend.
The next one was Tammy and the T-Rex, which we missed. I have seen the big deal this time around was that this movie was originally supposed to be like a slapstick gore fest. And it ended up, by the way, it has Paul Walker in it, and what's her face? I forgot her name.
Yeah.
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards, yeah.
Yeah, and much younger, and yeah, it was supposed to be this like gore fest, rated R gore fest slapstick movie, and then it somehow got like re-edited as like a kids movie, and I actually remember seeing this as a kid, and even the kid dumbed down kid version had quite a bit of gore in it, so it's kind of funny to realize that this was actually supposed to be this like super bloody rated R goofy movie. But yeah, it was kind of nostalgic just to see that show up again and see like the trailer for it, and I was like, oh yes, I've seen that before.
Yeah, I want to watch the gore version, but let's move to the next movie, which is The Deeper You Dig. We didn't see this.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, let's move to the next one. The
Yeah,
Golden Glove. I know that you want to spend another podcast talking about how much you love this, but we
oh,
don't have the
so good.
time.
It just makes you feel super gross. Quickly, it's just about a German serial killer from the 1970s, based on a true story. Spends a lot of time at, or he supposedly got most of his victims from this really crappy bar called the Golden Glove. The movie spends a lot of time with the Golden Glove, and just like how really nasty and detestable and terrible the world was that these people had to live in. And they're 90% of the time or more, there's somebody that's like stumbling around drunk all the time. And it's just, that's what it is. Yeah. And it just made you feel really gross.
And it also made me not want to watch it. So one of the few last ones we have is called The Lodge. It's a movie about it's got a lot of stuff going on, but basically some parents lose their mother, and then their father kind of forces them to start hanging out with his new fiance in a cabin in the woods, and then shows her how to use a gun. No. So there's a lot of weird setup to this movie, but I thought the movie was fairly intense. I don't think that the description is apt at all, because it has nothing to do with what the freaking movie's about. But I thought the movie had some intensity to it. I was like on the edge of my seat, and the payoff was all right. It wasn't the best, but I think it's worth watching like once.
Yeah, and to give you a good idea, because this movie's made the rounds a lot, it's from the directors of Good Night, Mommy, which, if you've seen that, it has a very similar concept to it, where the kids are involved with this parental figure, and it gets creepy and freaky.
All right, so the next one was my favorite movie of the festival, which was The Wretched. This movie's just basically Fright Night with a witch, and it is fantastic. It has some humor, got a lot of young teenage boys stalking the neighbors, and a decent amount of really cool practical effects. A decent amount, like almost all of them. There's not really much else to say about it besides that. It has a lot of things going for it just based off that. Brett and Drew Pierce did the movie together, and John Paul Howard and Brett Pierce were both there at the festival, and they talked about the movie, and it was really, I'm really happy that someone decided to make this, and I'm really happy this is coming out in theaters soon.
For sure, yeah. I was pretty sad that I wasn't able to swing this one at the festival, but yeah, that was a cool one.
It was great.
That was able to show there. Tucker and Dale Verzeeble played there. That was kind of partly just a celebration of the 10-year anniversary of Telluride, because they actually showed this the first year and premiered it, and it's definitely one of our favorite movies, especially horror comedies. It's at the very top of the list for us. Alan Tudyk is awesome in it. It's fantastic. We didn't watch it while we were at the festival, but definitely loved that it was there. It's an amazing movie. I've seen it 100 times.
VFW is our next one. We neither of us saw this, but we actually heard, like much like One Bedroom, that this was a pretty good movie, and that it's worth checking out if you're kind of in the mood for a movie that's like The Wild Bunch meets Night of the Living Dead.
Perfect. And then Wounds was the next one. This one's actually coming out on Hulu soon, so you're gonna be able to catch that. It's got Armie Hammer and Dakota Johnson in the lead roles. Armie Hammer's a bartender, and he ends up finding the cell phone after there's a brawl in his bar, and the cell phone has a bunch of grisly images and videos on it, and slowly him and his girlfriend spiral into chaos and out of control from the events of this, finding the cell phone. It's got a very like Lovecraftian approach to it, in the sense that it's like, a descent into madness,
Yeah.
kind of a thing.
I think
And
Sick
yeah,
One,
I thought it was really good.
yeah, I liked it too, but I think that we got very different things from this movie. I think part of what this makes this movie a little bit confusing is that it's just got some stuff in it, and you're like, why? And I think this is the movie that Sick was talking about earlier with the random jump scares. Like, it was just basically throwing every potential thing that can make you jump into some of the jump scares, and you're like, why did you do that? That was just more annoying than it was anything else. Like, so keep that in mind when you watch it. It is pretty good, and this is one of those movies that ended, and I was like, wait, what? Like, oh crap, that was it? Like, I was not ready for where it ended, which is usually a good thing, and in this case was. So it's worth watching,
I agree.
especially if you have Hulu. And I just think that there's some parts of it where I'm like, this is so dumb.
Yeah, I think for the most part I really liked it a lot. I thought the imagery was really intense. I think the storyline is good and the build is really good. Yeah, I think the acting is great. It definitely has some weird parts in it, which I just haven't really. I think I need to watch it again to see how purposeful I feel like it is,
Yeah.
and how incidental some of it is.
But to be
But it
fair,
could end up being even smarter if we watched it again. Or
yeah,
better.
I would watch it again. That's kind of what
Oh, me
I'm
too.
getting at, which is an interesting
Oh,
thing,
for
so.
sure. Yes. Yeah, I would for sure. Like, my two favorite movies from this festival, I would say, are probably, or for sure, Daniel Isn't Real. But probably Wounds would be the other one, and I want to see them both again really bad.
So let's talk about our final movie, which is Z. It's a movie about a kid whose imaginary friend is messing up everyone's lives, basically.
Yeah, and it just, it escalates from there. It's got a pretty basic mainstream horror build to it. You can follow kind of the basic skeleton of it, like, bad stuff starts happening, family has to realize what's going on, things escalate, there's a climax, it's pretty standard fare as far as that goes. I do think it is, I thought it was a pretty fun movie from just a like superficial scary movie perspective. I feel like it had some of the best like just pure scare scenes of the festival. But it wasn't, I don't think from an objective or trying to be as objective as possible, I don't think it was one of the best films there. But I feel like in years past, it probably would have been a top three for me. But this year was so stinking good.
This movie for me was like a bad. It was not that good. Like, I think we discussed at some point with some of the other film goers about how this was like whether or not this was just a like a fresh-faced haunted house movie or not. And there's some conjecture there, but it follows again like the same pattern of any kind of horror film. And there's just so I got to listen to the director talk about it, which made it worse, which is never something that you really like when you're listening to a director talk about his film, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I don't really know why I put that in," or "Yeah, we did this because we thought it was cool, but for no other reason." And you're like, "Oh, stop! Like, just leave."
For sure, yeah.
And
That you may,
yeah.
yeah. When you started talking about that stuff, that really did hurt it for me too. It was like, oh man, that's unfortunate that you did this because you felt like it, or you turned against this because you thought you had a good reason and you didn't, and it was, yeah.
So, but that was the movies. I don't think we have time to talk about the shorts, but maybe we'll do that in another one. But definitely really solid year for movies at Telluride.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Even though we're kind of ending on like a bad note, it was just because we went through them all
Alphabetical,
alphabetically.
yeah.
But I think overall, I just remember leaving this year going, man, this was easily one of the best years. And I was just so impressed with all the movies that, for the most part, all the movies I saw, even the ones I didn't like, I feel like had a lot going for them. And I didn't regret a single one. And
Except
I
for the Golden
think
Glove.
I still wouldn't even say I regret it. But like, I will say that this was, and this is not a, it's, we're running on lack of sleep. By Sunday, it's, it can be difficult to push through some of those movies if you're doing, three back to back to back. I never once had an issue this year.
Neither did I.
It was, everything was pretty enthralling and engaging. It was good.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And let us know what you think about these movies if you watch them, or let us know what you thought about Telluride if you went.
Yeah, absolutely. And prepare ahead of time if you're into this kind of thing. It's a really one of a kind experience and it's awesome, so you should go check it out next year.
Yeah, it's the 16th through the 18th in October next year, so keep that in
Oh,
mind.
perfect. You already got the dates. Dang. Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening,
That's
everybody.
all right, bye.
Bye.